time and space. No limit in mind. In the last few decades, it has been demonstrated that time and space are limitations imposed by a so-called mortal mind. In other words, there is no real foundation if one understands that real substance is spirit instead of matter. Einstein stated that he would like to travel on a beam of light, implying that that would eliminate or at least reduce the theory that time and space are limitations. The only mind, real mind, is one that is composed of the substance of spirit. And that, of course, is not what is termed mortal mind, for that relates to a substance termed matter, which is the opposite of spirit. Matter is defined by so-called mortal mind, but then it gives to matter the feature of intelligence and life. And then it says it will listen to the projections of matter actually conveying intelligence. However, if a so-called material body is dead, then there is no life or truth or intelligence in the so-called matter. The dance of mortal mind basically says, well, here it is, now it's real, and then later says, oops, made a mistake. It is not able to conduct any conveyance of its own intelligence, which we thought it had. In 2017, in a calculator contest in Japan, where calculators are utilized and even have clubs that cultivate speed contests and practicing about 7 hours a weekend. The lady that won the contest in 2017 was able to hit the keys 9 times in 1 second, which means her fingers were traveling at approximately 400 kilometers per hour. This compares to one of the top rated Ferraris, which travels at a speed of 360 kilometers per hour, or approximately 224 miles per hour. We know that the internet operates at a speed that is a wide and phenomenal multiple of that speed. Where one can be in the United States, for example, and send a message halfway around the world, and it is basically received instantly. In fact, they call the service or the technique or product instant messaging. There have been many instantaneous healings in Christian Science, and that relates to one in which there was no time involved. Mr. Rawson is one of the practitioners that continuously conducted instantaneous healings. One of them, which has been related many times, is when he was gazing out a window with a friend whose name was Spalding, one of the authors on our website, and they saw a man that had a load of rocks accidentally dumped on him, covered him up. When Mr. Rawson saw that, he immediately stated, "There is nothing but God." Now that was obviously with conviction and understanding about what God is. And as a result of his conviction and statement and affirmation of truth, the man jumped out from underneath the pile of rocks and he was totally unharmed. Joel Goldstein is another practitioner that performed instantaneous healings. Wentworth Winslow also had experiences like that, including raising one boy from the belief of death. Bicknell Young raised himself from the belief of death. He has this recorded in one of the publications on our website. Of course, Mary Baker Eddy also had instantaneous healings. And that was one of the reasons why she prayed three times a day. And I'm talking about specific time that was set aside for prayer. She was really praying continuously all day long because every part of her life was based on going to God first. We know Christ Jesus also had instantaneous healings. And there's other characters in the Bible and ones that are not in the Bible that overcame the belief of time and space and proved that there was no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, and that all was infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, which includes man. When one is planning their schedule or updating it or even making a note, a message to oneself about something that they need to do at a later time, it would behoove one to give that notation a mental treatment or the event and basically affirm that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter and that there is no limitation of time or space and work toward doing what Mr. Rawson recommended, and that is to be able to perform any so-called material activity without doing anything that is considered a material action. In other words, demonstrating that it is already done and that hands and arms and legs and so forth, or walking or running or driving or flying on an airplane or anything else does not need to be done in order to accomplish something that is good, that is a God-derived activity, and especially one that blesses all mankind. Of course, any God activity is going to bless all mankind, for it reflects into the universe of universal thought the goodness that is coming from that activity. Mind provides all creative activity. Mary Baker Eddy defines mind as being omniscient, which means that it is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. She also defines mind as having all capacity, all capability, all facility, and therefore all functionality. She also defines mind under the definition of good on page 587 of Science and Health in the glossary, which is part of the Key to the Scriptures. She defines it as being omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. So this means that it is present everywhere. God's qualities are present universally because they are within consciousness. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Mr. Rawson promotes thinking about us being in the kingdom of heaven, which is perfect, where there is a perfect God. And we therefore are perfect in order to be in the kingdom of heaven. He suggests that one way to conduct the treatment is to know exactly what the problem is and make a very simple statement, such as, there is no, and then whatever the problem seems to be. And then immediately switch thought to what God is, and that God is perfect, that God is the kingdom of heaven. We are in that kingdom, which is omnipresent. No time involved to get there because it is within consciousness. All we have to do is align our consciousness with the consciousness of God, and we're there. There are three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health to give us a groundwork for what Science and Health is all about, and of course, Christian Science, because Science and Health is the textbook of Christian Science. The first quote is, it's a quote that Jesus stated to John, or I don't know who he stated it to, but John is the one that recorded it. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32, and it says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, part of the truth is that God is perfect. God made us, and therefore we are perfect as his image and likeness, and that the only existence is the kingdom of God, which is being in the kingdom that God created, which is totally perfect, without any flaw. Mary Baker Eddy, which used the Bible as her sole authority, and of course that's the inspired translation, the inspired interpretation of the Bible, and it says in there that God is a spirit. And the proper translation is that God is spirit. So she defines God as being spirit, and spirit is the only substance, not matter, which is the opposite of spirit, but spirit is the only substance. And since God made it, and God is all intelligence and all wise, all knowing, that he obviously would not have any flaw. So spirit is flawless, and therefore it's transparent. Therefore, it is reflective. That gives us the ability, as God's image and likeness, to reflect good thoughts out into the universe just by us considering and contemplating them and applying them to everything that we do in thought, speech, and action. Since spirit is the only substance, she defines soul as sense, and therefore soul is spiritual sense, which means that the five commonly termed senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling are all spiritual. They cannot be based on matter, because matter has no real foundation. It is only a theory of mortal mind. Therefore, if we think about properly identifying anything, whether it's by sight or hearing or feeling or touching or anything, you know, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, or smelling, then we should be doing it from a spiritual perspective, not a basis of matter. God is also principle. Principle means system and structure. So the foundation of everything is based on its principle. And of course, again, the substance of principle is spirit. This is spirit as principle. Therefore, if it is spiritual, then it has to be flawless, It has to be harmonious. It has to be self-operating, not dependent upon anything else. In other words, our thinking doesn't change principle. Principle is what our thinking should be trying to uncover and emulate. In fact, if we do this properly, we don't even have to do any thinking, but we have to get our thinking out of the way and look for the knowing of God. That's what we really need to do. We need to confirm that God already knows everything there is. There's no use trying to give an instruction to an all-knowing God, an all-intelligent, all-wise God. What are we going to do? Try to educate this one and only infinite source of intelligence and wisdom? It's so absurd when somebody pleads to God to do something, because that is not recognizing God as being the source. These kids that practiced 7 hours a day on the weekends in these calculator clubs, I don't think they plead to God to do it for them. God gives us the tools. He gives us the board, you know, like a chalkboard, like a teacher would have, and He gives us the chalk. He gives us the tools, but we have to apply the intelligence of God, the wisdom of God, to come to the solution. Just like a pianist, he practices hours and hours and hours a day. One of the most popular ones said, if I miss one day of practice, I know it. If I miss 2 days, the critics know it. And if I miss 3 days, the audience knows it. Well, we have to not miss a single day or a single moment of affirming that we are the reflection of God, and our activity that we're involved in right now is a God activity. And therefore, there is no limit in the capacity or the capability, the functionality, the facility, the action, or anything else that we're involved in that can be defective or limited. Mary Baker Eddy says that we should be forming models in our thought. What is the model that we're looking at? Are we looking at a model that is perfect, that is expedient, that is effective, that is perfect in every way? Are we looking at a model that is reflecting the intelligence of the omni-intelligent God? Are we looking at a model that cannot be interfered with because God is omnipotent and there is no other power? So there's nothing that has any power to interfere with a God-derived activity, because that is the only power that exists. How about presence? There was a treatment done on Lost and Found recently, in the last day or two. Do we have any belief that there is something that is lost? Mr. Wentworth Winslow has an article, which we have recorded on MP3, and he talks about someone going to heaven to ask God for something. And the one that is tending to the entrance to heaven says, well, what are you looking for? And, you know, they told them, and they said, well, we don't have any of that available. And he said, but just wait here a minute. So the person that was tending to the entrance to heaven went and spoke with God. And they conveyed to God what the person wanted. And God said, well, we have an infinite supply of everything. Give them however much they want. And the individual that was monitoring the gate, that talked to the individual that was looking for something, said, but this individual wants something that they can run out of. And we don't have anything that can be exhausted. Ours are infinite. So he said, God said, go back and tell them that we have everything that they need and they can have as much of it as they want. If one looks at something that they think that they need, which is limited in quantity, then they're looking for the wrong thing. If one thinks they need money, they're looking at the wrong thing. Because money can't do any good unless it can buy something. What they want to buy is probably what they need. It doesn't matter whether it's paper towels or food to eat or maybe a job to provide income to pay the normal expenses of food, shelter, and clothing. It doesn't matter what it is that one thinks they need, they automatically convert it to matter and say, well, I need this matter in order to have this other matter. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe they feel they are lonely and they could get companionship from a friend. Well, that wouldn't be money unless they think that the person would be attracted to them because of the money they had. Well, then they're looking for the wrong kind of a person. If they are looking for example, a woman that won a beauty contest, they're looking for the wrong kind of an individual. They better be looking for the qualities that are being expressed by the individual, because the exterior beauty expires because they're believing in matter, and age will make the appearance of the matter look less attractive. If it's a man, maybe they're looking for a beauty queen. If it's a woman, maybe they're looking for someone that will give them comfort or protection. They may not, or maybe they are looking for someone that is handsome. Maybe a movie star. Maybe someone that won a weightlifting contest and has all these muscles that are bulging. Whatever it is, if it is converted from matter to spirit, they're going to be able to have a more lasting companion, because they're looking for a companion that is reflecting qualities of God. As a matter of fact, if they go to God first and focus on what God is, any need they have will be fulfilled. As Solomon said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Solomon wasn't concerned about wealth, yet he ended up being the wealthiest man, even in today's terms, than anyone else that ever existed. He was looking for guidance and honesty and integrity and a way to govern his people properly. And he was looking for that wisdom from God, the intelligence, the knowing, the capability, the capacity, the functionality, the facility, the action, the creative ability. He was looking for qualities, not matter. Some people waste things and then they run out of them. An old saying is, waste not, want not. Are we wasting any spiritual ideas? Are we wasting any spiritual guidance that might be available? Are we wasting any spiritual resources of any kind whatsoever? If we are, then we're going to be wanting. Sooner or later, we're going to realize that matter is not the solution to anything. But the idea, the concept, is what we need to cultivate. A few of the qualities of God were mentioned that relate to mind, spirit, soul, and principle. So giving a thought to life, life is, how are we living? are we living the qualities of God? Because that's what life is. If we're living the qualities of God, then God is our life. Those were the last few words that Mary Baker Eddy stated that were written on a notepad by her bed the day that she passed. God is my life. Is God our life? Are we living the life of God? Are we living the life of the qualities of God? Are we making intelligent decisions? Are we listening for God's guidance? Are we using the tools that God gives us? Are we living our life with the enthusiasm of knowing that we're doing good things? Are we living the golden rule? Are we living the two commandments that Jesus said were the most important? One being that God is number one, and that we respect others in the way that we want to be respected. The golden rule, do unto others as we would have others do unto us. If we obey the first one, which is God to be our guide on everything, then we're automatically doing the second one. Because God is impersonal, and all of God's creations are perfect. And we have to view everyone else as being a child of God. So if we're obeying the first commandment of thou shalt have no other gods before me, me being God, that includes God's manifestation. If one would study the Sermon on the Mount, which includes the Beatitudes, the commandments, try to abide by the golden rule in everything that one does, in all thought, speech, and action, there would be no more war, there would be no more conflict between individuals, we would be living in the kingdom of heaven. We wouldn't have to go to God asking him for something that we thought we ran out of. Like I mentioned, whether it's paper towels or whether it's something to eat or a place to live or transportation or anything at all. Because we would have it. Because it's in consciousness. And whatever facility that needs to be provided to us would be provided automatically. Because our thought would be in alignment with God. I started to mention that there were three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health. And the first one was about truth. The second one is a quote by Shakespeare that says there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And I talked a little bit about we should have our thinking tuned in to a perfect model of what we should be. That means we should be a model of God's child, the way God created us. And the third one is, the first line says, oh, we are blessed. So in other words, if we cultivate what truth is and get a better understanding of it continuously, and if we let our thoughts mold our experience with thoughts of perfect models, which is the Shakespeare quote, then we will have the blessing that we need. There won't be any want. There won't be any lack. We don't have to try to ask an infinite mind to provide something that we already have, because it is within consciousness. What do we have? Do we have lack? Is that what we're cultivating in our consciousness? Are we trying to criticize other people, blame them for our problems? There's a wonderful article on the homepage of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, mbeinstitute.org, that is from Dr. Fluno, and he was one of Mary Baker Eddy's early students and was awarded was awarded the CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. And it's only a page and a half long and about 5 minutes to listen to, and it's on criticism. And he basically tells us that criticism is the fount of all evil. If we want to be a perfect devil, all we have to do is criticize anyone and everything. That's it. He says anyone, no matter how intelligent or ignorant they are, can criticize another one. Criticize everything about them, anything about them. He says that is the biggest problem creator that you will ever have. The bottom line, do what Mary Baker Eddy did. Do what probably Daniel did when he was praying three times a day. And Mary Baker Eddy specifically said she was. And that is to look only for good. Only for good. She said she stops herself several times a day. I think this was in addition to the three times a day. And she said to check herself to make sure that she was not thinking evil about anyone or anything, but only seeking a revelation of good about everything and everyone. Imagine what kind of a world we would have if we did exactly that. We could just spend a moment. Well, maybe while we're calling someone and waiting for them to answer. Or whatever. There's many times a day that there are moments which are wasted. If we apply them just to some simple thought like that, our life would zoom in the direction of perfection. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Remember, there's no limit with God, so there's no limit to progress. Infinite progression, not infinite progress that is already done. It is continuous, continuous. And we can go there just as fast as that gal that is operating the calculator. If we will do it. Genesis 1 has seven major thoughts in it. They're considered days of the week or days of creation. And before each one, before God did anything, it says to let. It says it seven times, one in each of the major days of creation. That means we've got to get ourselves out of the way and we have to let God's creation be recognized in our own consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy states that when it says in the beginning, it means in the only. The only thought we should have is the thought that God already created everything. It always has been in existence. And all we have to do is get self out of the way and recognize it. We have to deny that we are limited by a male and a female getting together and having electricity and creating what is termed a piece of matter, and that we are limited by that thought. The truth is, we weren't created by a man and a woman. We were created by God. Always have been in existence. We just maybe not been aware of it until this other process came about. But we have always existed. The life of a tree is not in the branches or the leaves or the trunk or anything else. The beauty of a rose is not from the rose. All good things are from God. Two different people can be looking at the same thing and have totally different opinions. But the facts about it are true, whatever the facts are. They don't change because of two different sets of eyes that are looking on it or touching it or hearing it or anything else. The five senses, if they're considered to be material senses, they're not going to agree with each other. 8 billion people in the world, and they're going to have 8 billion different opinions. We need to have one opinion, and it needs to be the facts about God and God's view of whatever it is. Do we have a problem with seeing? Think about the definition on page 587 of the glossary under God. It says, God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. God is the only seeing. The only seeing is God. Think about how God sees what we're looking at. If we think about what God is seeing, and remember, God is qualities, so God's going to be looking for qualities. God is seeing qualities because God is seeing himself. If it's true in the Bible that says God is all and there's only one God, that's the God we have to be revering, worshiping, emulating, reflecting. That's it. We always want to go to God first about everything, about identifying anything or anyone, any event. We don't have to be worried about the end of the world. We only have to be concerned whether or not our consciousness is reflecting the consciousness of God. If we're reflecting the consciousness of God, there is no end to our life. And we should help others, if they are receptive and they want it, to understand this concept. Einstein, considered one of the brightest guys in the world, he said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He said that about 1950 or so, and he was talking about Mary Baker Eddy as being thou. He even put a capital T on there. And he said, "Everything that is in this book." The book was Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. He also said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." So he was probably thinking about the first version that was published in 1875. He'd worked his whole life to discover some of the things that she had already discovered. If he would have spent his whole life studying Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, he could have saved his whole life studying about the world of physics, which basically evaporated away. Because when they were slicing the atom to try to get it down to its basic element, they discovered the only thing left was consciousness. Quantum physics brought that to light around 1900. And they studied it for many years trying to figure out what they had discovered. She had discovered it many years before that. 25, 30 years before that. 40 years. In 1866, when she was healed of the fall on the ice that was termed to be fatal, she realized part of what was going on. And then she developed it for the rest of her life. 432 different versions before she ended up with her final version in 1910. And that's the only version. We shouldn't study anything after 1910 because they've been altered. They did everything possible to get rid of remembrance of Mary Baker Eddy because they were men and they were jealous of a woman that had done such a thing. Well, Einstein was much more of an adult. He gave recognition to her. Clara Barton is another one, the founder of the American Red Cross. She had nothing but wonderful things to say about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy's discovery of Christian Science attracted the top thinkers of the era when she discovered Christian Science. People came from all walks of life to become Christian Scientists, because they realized that what she discovered was the true pearl of great price. God is all in all. That means that God is all source and all manifestation. And as Mr. Rosin said, there is nothing but God. Amen.